You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Only 14% of Idahoans talk about end-of-life care with their primary care provider, although 59% would like their doctor to initiate conversations with them about death and dying. This is all according to a recent survey conducted by the Center for the Study of Aging at Boise State University. Joining me live to talk more about the survey findings is Kim Martz. She's an associate professor at Boise State University's School of Nursing. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, Kim, why aren't people having these conversations, or are they having the conversations, but then is that where it ends?
Yes. From the survey, we saw that they are actually having the conversations, and they have strong preferences about the type of care they would like to receive. They're comfortable talking with their family about these items, but they're not doing the actionable item of actually documenting it in an advanced care planning document, which would help them achieve what they're looking for at the end of life.
So let's talk a little bit more in depth about that, because some people, if you've never gone through the process of losing a loved one, from personal experience, I don't think that people necessarily understand that just talking about it, and when you're in a situation and you tell a care provider, well, my parents said X or my sibling said they want X, if it's not in writing,
right,
that really doesn't matter.
No, they need to have a document that outlines that, that is signed by them, that it also acknowledges the healthcare agent is the person they would like to have speak for them. And that is the part that is honored by the medical community. Otherwise, their default is to treatment, maybe treatment that they would not want, maybe aggressive treatment that would not let them with the quality of life they determined.
And in fact, there's nationwide data that shows that the overwhelming majority of adults say that they would prefer to die at home. Mm-hmm. But then the data is also showing that only about one-third, and we're talking about Medicare beneficiaries, that's how they've tracked this data,
right,
over the age of 65 actually die at home.
Right.
And are those some of the things that we're seeing here in Idaho as well?
We haven't actually tracked it that well in terms of who's dying at home, but we do know that this is a preference for people. And if they do receive aggressive or unwanted care, they're more likely to die in an institution where they would not want to be. So we're seeing more of that, dying either in the hospital or dying in an institution.
So the recent survey also found that Idahoans are really concerned about being a financial burden to their family.
Right.
In fact, I think I read in the survey that 80% of respondents said that this was a significant concern. How does that play into someone's plan for end-of-life care?
I think they're thinking about what kind of cost it would be in order to have caregivers at home if they would come home to need that type of care. That's a significant cost. Medicines can be a significant cost. Medical bills can be a significant cost. So they're worried about those particular issues, but they're not seeing the connect between deciding what kind of quality they want and what kind of care they want, documenting that care, and having that carried out.
Did you find in the survey at all, were there differences when it came to the type of end-of-life care that people wanted? Did you ask questions like that in this survey?
We did ask about life-sustaining treatments such as CPR. We did ask about nutrition and hydration. We asked those specific medical care, and they're saying that they don't want that type of care at the end of life. But again, the disconnect is the documentation of those wishes. They're very interested and know about hospice support and would be willing to have hospice care. But they're not, and that would be in an advance of knowing a terminal illness or something was going to happen. When we're talking about the documentation that would be in the event of an unforeseen crisis or event that would happen where they would be rendered unable to speak for themselves, where they would need to have a healthcare agent identified that could speak for them.
Well, and getting back to what you found out when it comes to things like CPR or hydration, if that is not in writing, medical care providers have to give that care.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, bottom line.
Yes, they're required to give the type of care that would be warranted for that unless you didn't want it, right? Mm-hmm. But they are required, yeah.
I'm speaking with Kim March. She's an associate professor at Boise State University School of Nursing. We're talking about a new survey about end-of-life care in Idaho. So when it comes to having the conversations, we know that people are having the conversations with their family and their loved ones, but it's, as you say, the actionable items. Mm-hmm. So what is that, mm-hmm. and how do people get that started?
Mm-hmm. The actionable item would be actually filling out an advanced care document. So when we talk about advanced care planning, we say that's the conversation part. What do you want? Are you having the conversations with your family, with your physician, with loved ones, where you can talk about what you want? But the documentation is the actual advanced care planning document. And that is available on Honoring Choices Idaho's website. Is also available on the Secretary of State Office website, the Idaho Specific Advanced Care Planning Document. And so that's what we're talking about, filling out that document so that it is, and naming the healthcare agent to speak for mm-hmm. you in when you would not be able to speak for yourself. There may be some difficulty in understanding that there are no requirements for an attorney to fill out to acknowledge that that's the healthcare agent. We call it also a durable power of attorney for mm-hmm. healthcare. And so they think maybe there is an attorney needs to be involved for that mm-hmm. when in fact we have gotten rid of all the requirements to make it less cumbersome for people to fill mm-hmm. these documents out.
So when you say healthcare agent, mm-hmm. let's define what that is, because mm-hmm. that sounds like a doctor, but right. it is not necessarily that.
Yeah, and therein lies some of the difficulties mm-hmm. with the language. A healthcare agent can be anyone, of course has to be over the age of 18, that would be able to speak for you. It has to be someone who would honor your wishes as mm-hmm. well. It doesn't necessarily default to
married, to a spouse.
Right, to a spouse, because they may not be able to honor your wishes, not because they wouldn't want to, but it's too painful for mm-hmm. them. So we always ask for people to have the conversation, are you able and willing to carry out this wishes for me mm-hmm. at the end of life? So they would be speaking for you in place of, while you're unable to right. speak.
Well, it's thinking about a person who in that moment can be your advocate right. mm-hmm. and that can put that emotion aside, because
exactly.
these can be incredibly difficult times.
Exactly.
Even when you know that the end is coming,
mm-hmm.
it's never easy.
Right, exactly.
And then when you have compounded, if you do not have this in writing, that's one more layer.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to fill this out.
We do.
So it is as simple as you said, mm-hmm. as really going online.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they fill this out, can any healthcare provider then find it, or do you have to print it out? What do you have to do next? I mean, because we can fill it out and then what?
Right. Additionally, I'd like to just add that if you needed to have problems with having the conversation or figuring it out, Honoring mm-hmm. Choices Idaho provides facilitators that will actually help you
mm-hmm.
To find out what it is you want mm-hmm. through an evidence-based process, a standardized process that they can help you fill that out. But once you determine your values and your goals and you document that, currently the situation is that you can go to the Secretary of State's office, and we do have a health care registry there, directives registry, and you can upload your documents to the health care registry, and then you would be provided a card with a unique identification number and PIN, and then you would make that available to your loved ones. You can also have documents at your preferred healthcare facility and ask that be included in your medical record. But the access to those is a little bit difficult. It's a little bit of a cumbersome process.
Mm-hmm.
So Honoring Choices Idaho and a number of other stakeholders, including the Idaho Healthcare Continuum Alliance, hospitals are looking to seek for funding to actually have the registry at the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. And would have more technological solutions for so that that document would be more accessible and maybe even in the electronic health record where it would be readily available for use. So that's one of the items that they're working on.
Well, and we've had Honoring Choices representatives from Honoring Choices here in our program, and they do an outstanding job because it can be a difficult conversation to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to thank you for coming in today. Really interesting information. Again, can you give me the name of the, do you have the name of the website or do they just go to the Secretary of State's office?
The Secretary of State's office, that's the website, but Honoring Choices Idaho also has the documents available as well.
So those are the two best places to get that.
Right.
My guest today, Kim Martz, Associate Professor at Boise State University School of Nursing. Again, thank you so much for
coming
in.
Thank you for having me.